First of the following, Mizbeach. So what's novel about the Mizbeach? So Mizbeach, Maziach Umazin Mechavev Mechaper. So the Gemara says that the Mizbeach, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi is over here, Maziach Kasach Adait Cha Maziach Avonos. Literally, the Mizbeach is able to go ahead and scatter away the averos of an individual. Mazin, Bischus HaKarbonos HaOlam Nizon, in the merit of Karbonos, the entire world is sustained. Mechaviv, ultimately causes Klal Yisrael to be beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mechaper, and atones, these are all the qualities of the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Hainu Mechaper, Hainu Maziach. So the Gemara says, but one second, isn't Kapara the same thing as Maziach? To which the Gemara says, Maziach Gizeros, Umechaper Avonos. So the Gemara says that the Mizbeach is Maziach, it scatters away Gzeros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Umechaper, that means that's for the Klal, and Mechaper, and it atones for Avonos, individual sins. From Rav Chana Bagarata, Tamri, now the Gemara, Rav Chana Bagarata talks about the restorative qualities of dates, Meshachnon. Rashi says over here, Mechamos, so dates, if you eat dates, they warm you. Misavon, they satiate. Mishalshalon, they give one shulshul. Now, I will say, now, remember, in this context, shulshul is a good thing, right? Because, yeah, what it means, like diarrhea, cleans out. Sorry, Jonas, and you see where we are? You want to find, if you, there's also the English. Okay. Mishalshalon means that it goes out, it cleans out the system. What do you call it? There's a name. Cleanses. It cleanses the system. Thank you. I'm sorry. Colonic, good. Ma'ashon, Sarash is over here, machzikos, it gives you koach, v'lo mefankon, and it doesn't make you mefunach, it doesn't make you a fastidious person. And also another thing, the Gemara thing over here, is that you know what happens, you know, look, mashlamah davadome, so you see the breakfast we've eaten the last 2 days, so what happens, we're going to go home, right, unfortunately, the trip, unless Mashiach comes, halavai, but we go home, and what happens the first morning you're home? What happens? Right, you sit down at the table, right? You untuck your napkin and your mouth, and you're waiting. And what's there? You know, whatever. I'm sure everybody has a 7-course breakfast every morning. But the idea is that dates, if you eat dates, it doesn't make you a mifunak. It doesn't make you too fastidious of a person. Amarav, so Rav said, Achol tmarim al yore. So once we're on the topic of dates, if a person ate dates, a person shouldn't paskin halacha if you ate dates. Now she says, Al Yore, Shum Hora, Lefi Shetardos Dator Kishikr. Interestingly enough, dates apparently have almost like a wine-like effect. So if you ate dates, you shouldn't paskin halacha because your intellect is compromised. Mesi, Gemara Sakasha, Tumarim Shachlis Ve'arvis Yafos, B'mincha Ra'os. If you eat dates in the morning and the evening, it's good. However, by mincha time, it's not so good. But if you eat dates during lunchtime, in kamosan, no, nothing as beneficial as dates. Midday dates, nothing more beneficial. Umevatlos shlosha dvarim. And if you eat dates, so dates take away three things: machshavara, bad thoughts; choli me'ayim, intestinal illnesses; bitachtonios, hemorrhoids. So we'll see. You have to understand something. That when Chazal said things like this, they were much more in touch with the restorative abilities of regular foods. Like today, we rely very heavily on medicines. But the truth is, they understood the medical ramifications and medical benefits of just common everyday foods. So the Gemara says, "Mi aminan delo mali." And I will say that what you see from here is that dates are good. And yet we just said before that if you go ahead and you eat dates, you shouldn't paskin halacha because it seems to have a negative effect. So which one is it? Do the dates have a good effect or a negative effect? To which the Gemara says, no, did we say they're not positive? Eluye ma'alu. They're good. However, ulefi sha'ata tirda, midi dehavi achamra. So the Gemara says, dates are very good. But the difference is that when you eat them, a person ultimately is compromised in some way, in the same way like wine. It's just like wine is beneficial, but if you drink wine, you shouldn't paskin halacha. So the Gemara says, "Da'amar mar hashol siravias yain al yora." If a person drinks siravias of wine, they shouldn't paskin halacha. So therefore, again, just like wine is beneficial, but if you drink it, you shouldn't paskin halacha. So too, dates are beneficial, but if you eat the dates, you also shouldn't paskin halacha. To which the Gemara goes on and says, "Vibay." So the other possibility is lokashya hamikamei nama halabasser nama. It depends when you eat the dates. If you eat the dates on an empty stomach, i.e. before you eat bread, then dates almost have like an intoxicating effect. But if you eat the dates after you eat the bread, a person is already a little bit sated, a little bit satiated, then it's okay. Demar Abaye, Amrili, my mother told me, Im tamari mekami namo, if you eat your dates before you eat your bread, kinarga lidikula. It's like taking an axe. I will say dikla is what type of palm tree? Dikla is a male palm. You got to know this kind of stuff. You got to know this kind of stuff, right? So a dekel is a female palm? Tamar. Good. Good. Dekel is the male. Tamar's. You weren't with us yesterday. That's why you missed this. So the Gemara goes right there. So my mother told me, Tamri, if you go ahead and you eat your dates before your bread, everyone knows if you eat dates before your bread, it's like taking an axe to the deco. It's like taking an axe to the male date, meaning it's detrimental. So dates before bread is detrimental, like chopping down the palm tree. Basar nama, however, if you eat your dates after you eat your bread, then what? Ki avra ledasha. It's like the bolt for the door, meaning that it's beneficial. The Gemara says, Dasha. So we'll say, now that we just mentioned door, the Gemara says, why is a door called a Dasha? Amar Rava, Derech Shan. Because again, Dasha is a contraction, this is the way. So the door is the way, it's the entrance way into the home. Darga, why is a ladder called a Darga? Amar Rava, Derech Gag. Ultimately, again, it's the way up to the roof. Purya, why is a bed called the Purya? Amara Papa Sheparin Viravinale, because Piria Virivia, procreation takes place on top of it. Amrav Nachabayitzchak, so Nachabayitzchak said, we'll say Daf Yud Aleph, Amar Aleph, Af Anu Ne'emar Islandis. Right? Why is an islandis called an islandis? An islandis is a woman who does not exhibit female characteristics to a certain degree and is incapable of having children. So why is a woman who is incapable of having children called an islandis? Because that comes from the word duchranis delo yalda. Because she's like a duchranis. Remember, I will say, in duchranis, islandis, duchranis in Aramaic, Dalid and Zayin is interchangeable. So therefore, again, the Hebraic version of duchranis would be zochranis, zochar. That she's a woman who has certain male characteristics, delo yalda, ultimately, again, who does not give birth. Fine. Says the Mishnah. Oh, so look at Rashi. Meaning, why is islandis brought down here? Oh, because the Gemara is just dealing with the etymological roots of words. That's all the Gemara is doing. Once we mention Tamarim, so the Gemara says, once you mention Tamarim, then that gave birth to the story of Abaye's mother, who said that if you eat the Tamar before you eat bread, it's like bringing the axe to the Dikla. Oh, once it started talking about Dikla, why is it called the Dikla? It's just etymological roots. Nothing to do with the Sugya. Says the Mishnah. Hagiores, now we'll say now back to Ksubas. Sagiores vashvuya vashivka sheniftu vishenishka vishenishtacharu. So if you have a woman who converted, that's the Giores. Shvuya, a woman was taken captive. Shivcha, a maidservant, who were either redeemed or converted or were emancipated. Pechusos mibino shaloshanim, less than 3 years old. So these women were either redeemed, converted, or emancipated less than 3 years old, they have the status of a besula. Status of a besula. Therefore, they have a ksuva of 200 zuz. Beishlem tainas besulin. And there's also a claim, again, if they get married and the husband doesn't find any kind of besulim, there's a taina. He has the right to go ahead and claim that she was not a besula. And technically speaking, under certain circumstances. Correct. All of these women mentioned in this Mishnah, if they were under 3 years old at the time of either their conversion, their redemption, or their emancipation, are considered to be besulah. So I'm going to say, now what's happening over here? Now, under normal circumstances, we'll see this in the next Mishnah, a woman who converts, the assumption is the Gioras is not a besulah. That's the assumption. Same thing, the assumption is a woman who was taken captive, was violated by her captors, not a besulah, and a shifcha. So again, Rosh Shvachos, Avadim, are considered to be immoral individuals. Assumption is not a shifcha. It's not a basula. So therefore, if any of these people, if their status changed, either they converted, were emancipated or redeemed, pachos mishalosh shanim, the assumption is what? That even if bia occurred at less than 3 years old, the Gemara works at the assumption, the Gemara uses lashon of that the basulim grew back. What that essentially means is that bia under the age of 3 is not a recognized bia. So the person's... I'm sorry? How did... Maybe she was apachos mishalosh. Maybe she was... Bia under 3 years old, correct. Is not considered to be any kind of bia. So therefore, again, all of these women ultimately have the status of a besula, and therefore have a ksuba that's 200 zuz. Says the Gemara, now once he started talking about conversions, so the Gemara takes a little bit further. Amarav huna ger katan matbilin osa adas bezdin. So also I say, how exactly do you have a convert who is a minor? Because the general assumption is what? Conversion requires what? Das. Right, consent. So we it's supposed to remember, it's interesting that one of the things that Judaism has over all other religions is that we are the only religion that does not do forced conversions. If you want to convert to Yadus, so ultimately again a person has to do it willingly. So how do you ever have a minor convert? Oh, Beisdin sometimes will convert a minor, will convert a katan. So my kamashon, what is this teaching us? So we'll say, listen to this, a very important yisod. There's a concept, which means that I can do something objectively beneficial for you even without your das or even without your consent. Therefore, the assumption is it is a zechus to be Jewish, it is a merit, it is beneficial to be Jewish, and therefore Lamaisa Beisdin could oversee the conversion of a katan because the assumption is that it's a benefit to the katan. Oh, because for adults, again, zachlam shalom befanav means that I can only do something good for you when I don't have the ability to ask you. But if I have the ability to ask someone, then ultimately I have to ask them. But the truth is, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to address this. So Gemara says, Tanina, zachlam shalom befanav, v'chad adam shalom befanav. You can do something beneficial for someone not in their presence, but you can't do something detrimental not in their presence. So Gemara says, ba'u detema, what might I have thought? So I might have thought like this. I might have thought that for a non-Jew, it's not a schus to become Jewish. Why? Because the truth is, the non-Jew has a lot of latitude. Hefkerus. Right now, hefkerus generally has like a morality connotation to it. But the idea is that a non-Jew might very much enjoy his free or her free lifestyle. I don't want to be constrained. I know absolutely that for an eved, for a servant, absolutely the eved enjoys his or her moral freedom. Kamash malon dahani mili godol the tam di isura aval katam zuchusulo. Oh, so I'll say inachinami, when does this apply? You're right. If you have an eved who is a godol, right, an adult eved, you can't convert him without his knowledge, right? Why? Because he's already tasted iser and he enjoys it. So for him, if you ask him, do you want to become Jewish? He might very easily tell you what? Tell you what? No, because he enjoys his free lifestyle. But a child who has never tasted any kind of iser, a child like that, who doesn't know any type of iser, a child who's pure, who's good, so a child like that, for him or her to become Jewish is absolutely what? Absolutely considered to be a zuchus, considered to be a benefit. Therefore, you could convert the child even before the child has the ability to exhibit das. But say, you should know, this is my simba cholyo, couple adopt a child. You should know, in Hilchos adoption, it is much easier to adopt a non-Jewish child halachically. It is easier to adopt a non-Jewish child than it is to adopt a Jewish child for a whole variety of reasons. So a couple adopts a child, they want to convert the child. How can you convert the child? Gerus needs das. We convert the child. Why? Based on this principle, Zochin la adam shelo befanav, it is a benefit to go ahead and convert the child. Therefore, we convert the child. So the Gemara says, Lema sayele. Oh, we're going to see. Lema sayele. So let's say the support is Hagioras vashuya vashivcha sheniftu. You have a case. What did it say in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah spoke about the case of a Gioris, a convert, a woman who was taken captive, or a Shivcha, who were redeemed, or who were converted, or who were emancipated less than 3 years old. So what do you see from here? There is the concept of converting someone less than 3 years old. Now, how are you doing that? That can only be done al das beis din. My lav da'at belinu al das beis din. Are we not talking about a case where that person was converted al das beis din? And therefore, again, what Rabbo say? Because of that, we see that the only way that can happen is if we consider it to be a zechus for the person. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Oh, listen to this. Samar gives a very interesting answer. Maybe not. Maybe the case of the Mishnah is not a case of a ger katan. Rather, what is it talking about? It's talking about a case of a family that's converting together. So if the family is converting together, there's an automatic assumption that what? That what would the child want? What would the child want? The child would want to do whatever the parents are doing. So maybe it's only in that kind of case where we could convert the katan, because the assumption is the katan wants to do whatever the parents are doing. But maybe in stomach case, you can't just convert a katan. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Higdilu Yecholim. So the way we paskin, by the way, is we paskin that it is a zechus, it is a benefit for the katan to go ahead and convert, and therefore we do convert a katan al das beis din. We convert a katan al das beis din. However, listen to this. Amar Rav Yosef Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. But there is an important caveat, which is what? So now let's follow this progression. So Beis Din converts the young child because the assumption is that it's a schus. But when that girl turns 12 years old, what does she have the right to do? Right? Conversion repudiation. Right? She has the right to repudiate the conversion. She has the right to say, I don't want to be Jewish. So therefore, when she becomes a bas mitzvah, we have to ask her, listen, you are a gioras. Is this in fact what you want for yourself? So the Gemara says, So Abai raises a kash from our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? That the Gioras, the Shvuya, and the Shivcha, who were redeemed or converted or emancipated less than 3 years old, Ksuvas and Masayim, they have a Ksuva of 200 Zuz. Now watch this, says Abaye, Bisakadaitcha Higdilu Yecholim Limchos. Now if you say that when they get older, they have the ability to go ahead and repudiate the conversion and say that Lamaisa, I don't want to be Jewish. Yavino la Ksuva, the Azla Va'achla Bigiyusa. Should we give her a ksuva that in the event that what? In the event that she's no longer Jewish, that she could keep even when she is a non-Jewish woman? To which the Gemara said, L'chi gadla. No, we give her the ksuva only when she becomes an adult. L'chi gadla nami machiav in Africa. But even when she's an adult, she has the right to say, I don't want to be Jewish anymore. We'll say a very important qualification. Kevin shegdila sha'achas v'lo michsa shuv ein yechola limchos. Once she grows up and she lives her adult life as a Jewess, she no longer has the ability to go back and repudiate the conversion. In other words, what? Let me just explain this. In other words, what? That if we convert a girl when she's a child, so we do that al das beis din. Al das beis din works on the mechanics. What are the mechanics of that? How do we allow that to happen? Zochin la'adam shalom b'fanav. It's a schus. But once she becomes an adult, we have to check back with her and ask her what? Bat mitzvah. Why, once she becomes a bas mitzvah, we have to ask her, by the way, is this really a zechus for you? If she says yes, then what? Then what? She's affirmed the conversion, no problem. If she says no, I don't want this, then retroactively it uproots the conversion. She's not Jewish. To which the Gemara says, but understand, she only has that window. She only has that window at the moment she becomes a bas mitzvah. Once she lives her adult life as a Jewess, if she, let's say now at the age of 13, 14, 15, changes her mind and says, I want out, she can't get out. Now, I'll tell you why this is very interesting. You know, in the world of conversion, it's not as much now, but it used to be, there was always a big machlokas whether or not to tell a child that he or she is adopted. Big fundamental machlokas, right? Should you let the child know the child is converted? Big mouth, okay. So some said, no. Why does the child have to know? The child was adopted when the child was a month old. Leave it alone. Part of the family. But you see, halachically, the child really has to be told. Also, just now, I think conventional wisdom is that it's healthier for a child to know that the child is, again, there's much less stigma attached to it now also, but just halachically, it's important for the child to know. because the child has to be able to affirm his or her commitment to Judaism on their own. I have to know that I'm a convert in order for me to be able to affirm or reaffirm, or I should say reaffirm, the fact that I'm Jewish. But again, that reaffirmation, that window is only bar bas mitzvah. So the truth is really me'ikir adin, it's as soon as she becomes a bas mitzvah, right? Rashi's mechalei between Narus and Bagrus, for our purposes, she has to reaffirm it the moment she enters into adult life. She could be mocha, she can make a macha when she's a ketana, is that what you're saying? During her Narus, correct. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, okay, massive Rava. So Rava raises a kasha. Ela naro sheishlem kenas. These are the girls who are who are in the parish of Knas. I will say the Knas case is the case of where a man violates a woman. So what type of woman is in this parsha of Kinas? So the Gemara says, Habala Mamzeres, even if a man violates Mamzeres, Balan Asina, Kusis, Giores, Shvuya, Shifcha, Sheniftu, Fishenescaru, Fishenestacharachu, Chusos, Mibino, Shaloshanim. So we'll say, if a man violates any of these women. Now, in the first categories of women, these are women with blemished genealogies. A Mamzeres, an Asina, a Kusis, a Giores. So the idea is, all of these women, if you violated them, you are chayiv for the 50 shekel penalty once they were redeemed and once they were converted. So the Gemara says, vi'i amrit, take dili chon limchos. Now if you would say that lamaisa, once they get older, so let's say the Gioris can make a macho and get out of her Judaism, ya'avina laknas, the azav ha'achla b'giyusa, should we give her a knas that ultimately, again, she could enjoy when she's a Gentile? To which the Gemara says, we give her the knas when she grows up. So the chigadla, nami memachia v'nafka. No, but even when she goes up, she can make a machalmi for Judaism. To which the Gemara says, again, kevan shegdila sha'achos v'lo michsa, shuv ein yachola linchos. Once she lived 1 hour, so to speak, of her adult life as a Jewess, she is now a confirmed Jew, and she doesn't have the ability to get out of her Judaism. Doesn't the father get the... Yeah, the father would normally get the knas. This could be easily, you could say, it's a case who has no father. No father. That is correct. No, it's never fine. That's why there's a punishment.
But no, they're 10 years old.
I'm saying it's the same punishment for the 2 or 3.
I mean, 10 years old.
Correct. Also understand, remember, women are getting married much, much earlier. It was not uncommon for a girl of a young age to be married. This is not just Judaism. This was historically. Absolutely. Again, whether there was relations or not is a separate issue. But getting marrying off younger girls, absolutely. It just sounds ridiculously inappropriate and wrong. But historically, we know that women were married off, girls were married off at very young ages. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Abai lo amar kirava, hasam kinasa. So the Gemara says, Abai doesn't hold like Rav. Now, also remember, both of them are bringing a kasha. Both of Abai and Rav are bringing a kasha. The difference is that Rav brings it from the case. Rav brings it from the case of ksuva, and Abai brings it from the case of kinas. So now the Gemara is asking, why don't they each bring the other's braisa? So Abai lo amar kirava, Abai doesn't go ahead and bring like Rav. So Abaye doesn't bring the case of Kenas, because in the case of Kenas, Abaye holds that no matter what the circumstance of the woman, meaning let's say even if the woman is a Gioras, and technically speaking when she becomes a Gedola, she can repudiate her conversion, and she might be a Gentile, we're still going to pay her. Why? Because if a man commits the crime, he has to pay for the crime independent of the status of the woman. However, Rava lo amar kabaye, ksuva hayna taima shotei kalabein avlotzia. And Rava does not like Abaye, because in the case of ksuva, we're always going to pay the woman a ksuva. Why? Because the point of ksuva is a guarantee that a husband should think twice before divorcing the woman, and therefore lemaisa we want to ensure that that remains true no matter what the status of the wife is. So what's the halacha lemaisa? What comes out from these cases is, first of all, so therefore if you have a case of a gioris of a girl who converted before the age of 3, she has the status of a besula, and therefore her ksuva is 200 zuz. In the laws of conversion, we convert kitanim, we do convert minors, al das beisdin, but the assumption is zochin la'adam shel b'fanav, it is a benefit for the child to convert, but that benefit must be reaffirmed when? At the age of bar or bas mitzvah. So interestingly enough, that child has the ability and has the right to say what? To say what? I'm not interested, I'm checking out. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. If they choose to say, I don't, thank you, I appreciate you trying, but I don't want Yiddishkeit, they have absolutely every option to opt out. What? Sure, absolutely, absolutely. You can miss God. So let's say the girl at 12 years old says, I'm out, and then after her life journey, she comes back in 16 or 18, she says, I want to convert, and so she's a gioris. She goes, but understand, interestingly enough, now when she converts again, for ksuva purposes, as we're going to see, she only has one mana, 100 ksuva instead of 200 ksuva. But she can, no, correct. Even if you opt out, you can still convert again later on. Oh, excellent question. So at least saying good. I would have thought that Zach and Lavdash Shalabafanav is something that applies to a fellow Jew. So it would appear that this is a novel case. This might be the exception that in the din of Geirus, where ultimately again the katan has no das, absolutely no das. So it's like there's just a part of das. There's no or see the absence of das. I have the right to act in the best interest of the katan, even though the katan is not yet Jewish. It's the novelty. It's a chiddush in the case of Geirus. Absolutely, very important to sow. No, it's an objective status that is conferred upon her. All right, the Mosai Mishnah. Does everybody hear me over here? Okay, I'm trying. I'm sorry. I'm probably yelling in your ear. I'm sorry. Says the Mishnah, Hagodol sheba al haktana, v'katan sheba al hagdola. If you have a case of a gadol that had relations with the katana, or a katan who had relations with the gadol, I will say Rashi points out over here, haba la katana pechusa mi bas shalosh she'ein bi asabia shar b'sula b'sula chozer. I will say this is talking about bia with pachos mishosh. The girl is less than 3 years old. So such, I will say, remember, I want to be clear. Don't get caught up. I always say with these sugyas, don't get caught up with, how in the world is this happening? Don't get caught up with that, because remember, as we know, because you're all Bikiyim in Gemara, the way Gemara works is Chazal always use exaggerated cases to make a point. Because the truth is, I'm sure, I don't know, maybe it's no different than law, I would assume, that Lamaisa, again, sometimes you bring down the most exaggerated, absurd case in order to be able to distill the principle. So don't infer from this that this is mamish happening all the time. These are the extreme cases that Chazal chose to illustrate the point. So the man is having bia with a girl who's less than 3 years old, or katan shebala gdola, same thing. Now, in the case of katan, this is a boy less than 9 years old. Less than 9 years old, the assumption is that the bia of a boy is inconsequential. It's not a bia. So you have two cases now where the man is having relations with a girl that the bia is not significant. The girl, a boy less than 9 years old whose bia is not significant is having relations with a woman. So what's that? Mukas eight is a woman who is injured. Her besulim are gone, but not from a situation of bia, an injury. As a result of injury, so she no longer, the hymen is not attacked, she no longer has the besulim. So in all of these cases, ksuvasa masan de Rabbi Meir holds, each of these women have the status of what? Of a besula. Now here's what's interesting. So essentially, you could have a situation where there was what we'll call, for lack of a better term, you know, an anatomical penetration, but it's not halachically called bia. So remember, in the case of the ketana for girls less than 3 years old, such an act like that is not called bia. Boy is less than 9 years old, not called bia. Mukas Eitz, injury, is called not called Bia at all. Say for the mice, if you didn't have a halachically recognized Bia, the Chiddush is what? Even if the Basulim are not there, the mice, you're still called the Basula and you get 200 souls. Yes. No, you can have the case of Mukas Eitz. Case of Mukas Eitz, you can even see we're going to see. Rashi says, Sheniska Le'itz Ba'osa Makom. So you could have a case of Mukas Eitz where the Basulim are not totally intact, where are not totally removed. But Mukas Eitz could even be a case of where the Basulim are totally removed. Absolutely. She can say, but we're going to see the Shaila is, does she have to put forward the claim of Mukas Eitz before marriage? So that we're going to see. So says, so the Gemara goes, so Mishnah goes, right, Chamro, so the Rabbi says, so Rabbi Meir says, Bia with a Tana, Bia with a Katan, or Mukas Eitz, all of those cases, she's a Bistula, and they're for Ksuvas 200 Zuz. Chacham, the Chachamim say, Mukas Eitz, Ksuvas, someone at Chacham say, no, that if you're a Mukas Eitz, you only get a Ksuva, ultimately, again, of 100 Zuz. Now Rashi says over here, Ksuvas Samana, Im Niseis La'acher Stam, The Chacham say no. Once you are Mukas Eitz, you have the status of a Ba'ula, and therefore a woman who had relations already. I will say, yeah, you understand what's happening. It's very exciting. This is a fundamental Chakira in terms of what is the definition of a Basula. Is a Basula a woman who has Basulim? Or is a Basula a woman who never had relations? What's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina? Mukas Eitz. Mukas Eitz. If you hold that a din of a Basula is a woman who never had relations, oh, she never had relations. But if you hold that it's a din, a woman who has Basulim, like the hymen is intact and the mice again, she doesn't have Basulim. That's the machlokes in Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Basula amana grusha vechalusamin anisuin. Now, this is an interesting case. Let's say a woman had nisuin. But she's still a Basula, right? But she's still a Basula. And I will say, how does that happen? They're standing under the chuppah, and husband dies under the chuppah. Husband dies under the chuppah. I mean, the ikar is they got the shmorgin already. So it's whatever. Right? So it's the idea of husband dies under the chuppah, or under the chuppah after nisuin. So what happens? Husband has a change of heart and he divorces her. Once she enters into the chuppah, she is considered a nisua. Once she is in a suah, here's the amazing chiddush, then what? She loses her status as a besula. Even though we know nothing happened. Literally, he died under the chuppah. Once you become in a suah, you lose your status as a besula. Now, loch is, and therefore again, if she remarries another man, ksuva san mane. Ultimately, again, her ksuva is only 100 zuz. Oh, so good, we're going to see. Why would you say that? No, you can do a Bia. Oh, so good. That's one possibility. Other possibility is that once you have the status of a Nesua, the status of Nesua and the status of Basula are simply two incongruous states. They cannot coexist. And even though anatomically we know that she's probably still a Basula, we know she is a Basula, you can't be in both of those states simultaneously. And we'll see. We're gonna talk about this. Yud Aleph on the days, page 9. Ve'eimlan tainis besulim. Therefore, again, I will say, when this woman gets remarried, if her second husband says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi or something else, of course she does. Meaning, his husband number 2 can't have the taina that I thought she was a besula. Hagiores vashuya vashivcha sheniftu v'shenes gaidu v'shenishtachreru yiseros abno shalsham. I will say. Now this is the opposite of the previous Mishnah. Let's say a woman converted, or a woman was taken captive and redeemed, or a woman was emancipated, was a shivcha, but all of this happened after they were 3 years old. So what is the halacha? Ksuvas and mana. They no longer have the status of a besula, and therefore again their ksuva is only 100 zuz. The ain't tainas besulim, and therefore if they get married, the husband that cannot have a taina, that ultimately again she is a besula. Says the Gemara, Amrav Yehuda Marav, Katan Abba ala Gidola, if a Katan has relations with a Gidola. Also remember, Katan in this context means what? A boy less than 9 years old has relations with a Gidola. So what's the halacha? Asa Amukas Eitz. This is interesting. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, Rav Yehuda saying the name of Rav, that if a katan has relations with a gedola, essentially he has made her like a mukasetz. Like a mukasetz, meaning she's no different than a woman who had the besulim removed because of an injury. Ki amrisak hamei de Shmuel, when we said this over in front of Shmuel, Amar, no, he said absolutely not. Ein mukasetz bebasar. Not true. The status of mukasetz only comes about with what? When an injury other than relations. But once again, the besulim are removed because of physical contact, you can't call that. You can't call that mukasetz. Ike demasni ala hashmaita ban peinafsha. Others stated this ruling by itself. Katan aba la gidola. If a katan has relations with a gidola, Rav amar asa mukasetz. So Rav said that he made her into a mukasetz. Ushmuel amar ein mukasetz bebasar. And Shmuel says, no, impossible. You can't become a mukas eitz through physical contact. Mas Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia is the kasha. Mas Rav Oshia. Gadol sheba ala ktana. V'katan haba ala gedola. If you have a gadol that had relations with the ketana, or a katan who had relations with the gedola, umukas eitz, ksuvasan masandirim meir. So ultimately, all of them are considered to be a basula. And therefore, the olive ksuva 200 zuz. The chum say mukas eitz ksuva samana, that the mukas eitz has a ksuva of 100 zuz. So here you see that lemaisa again, the mukas eitz does have a different status. Amar Rav Hachi Kamar. This is what it means to say gadol haba ala ketana velo klum. That if the gadol has relations with the ketana velo klum, it's nothing. De pachos mikan kenosin etzba ba'ayin dami. Because again, essentially, it says like sticking your finger in your eye, i.e., it's a meaningless act. The katan haba la gedola sa mukas eitz. But if a katan has relations with the gedola, he makes her into a mukas eitz. O mukas eitz gufa plukti remev rabbanon. And the status of a mukas eitz is in and of itself a machlokes remev rabbanon. Also, remember that's the Mishnah. That in the case of the Mishnah already, you had the chachamim saying, Rabbi Meir holds that a mukas eitz is a basula, and the chachamim say that a mukas eitz is a ba'ula. Chachamim say that mukas eitz is a ba'ula. Correct. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Bar Chamba, machlokes b'shehikirba. This was what was mentioned before. The machlokes about a mukas eitz is when kishehikirba. Now, if you look at Rashi says over here kishehikirba, kishenichnesa. Kishekonsa, because of laksuva, hay yodeshi mukasetz. The boss said, when is there machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan about the status of mukasetz? That's when he knew that she was a mukasetz at the time that he married her. Rabbi Meir, medamelo lebogeres, Rabbi Meir says she's like any other adult woman. The boss said, here's something interesting. The assumption is that as a woman gets older, the besulim thin out. That's the status. So therefore, again, the assumption is if you marry an older woman already, when we say older, by the way, so Chazal's idea of older was what? 12 years old and above. So if you're marrying an older woman, then the mice, again, the assumption is the besulim already are thinned out. Therefore, a mukas eitz, says Rabbi Meir, is no different than any other bogeras. But Rabbanan medamel in the bula, Rabbanan say no, that a mukas eitz is like a woman who had relations already. Ava lo hikirba. But let's say he did not know if he did not know that she was a mukas eitz, then what? Ava lo hikirba, divrei hakol velo klum. Oh, but if you did not know that she was a mukas eitz, then everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that lemaisa lo klum, you don't owe her anything. Why don't you owe her any kind of ksuv? Rashi says demekach tosu. Oh, see, also here's what's interesting. See, the one thing is, everybody's going to agree, seems to agree, that Lamaisa, if you did not know she was a mukas eitz, that's a mekach tos. That's a mekach tos. Because again, so here's the novelty in that. Even though Rabbi Meir is going to say that a mukas eitz has the status of a besula, legabi ksuva, that's only if you knew about it. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying over here is that being a mukas eitz is a, what's the word? It's a, not disclosable. It's like a disclosure-worthy status. Does that make sense? Disclosure-worthy status. required disclosure. Good. It's a required disclosure. You have to say it. And if you didn't say it, if you didn't, now again, remember, even if you said it, it's okay. You're still a basula. You're still going to have a ksuba 200 zuz. But the maisa, you must disclose. And if you don't disclose, that is grounds for mekach tos. Yeah, absolutely. No. In general, with any type of mekach tos, Yanki's saying good. Yanki's saying, is there a statute of limitations for mekach tos? And the answer is that is always true. I'll give you a perfect raya to that. Perfect raya says, let's say mekach o memkar. You buy an item, and it turns out that the item is not what you wanted. But what? But you know, and let's say it's not what you wanted in a way that allows for avoidable sale. I ordered the iPhone 6. And instead, what happened? They got the 5, 5C? 5C, right? 5B, right? So, thank you. So what happens? That's not what I ordered. But you know what? I use it for 6 months. And then I decide, you know what? I want to return it. You can't do that. You can only use the mechanism of mekach tos if you're ready to void the sale immediately then and there. But if you use the item, then that is telling, that's what? What is that? What does that communicate? Acceptance. Let's say it's actually one interesting. There's one interesting exception. What's the exception to the rule? If you need something for business, meaning, let's say I get the phone and mamish like I can. I'm sorry.
We're taking pictures of us,
mamish. Is this what it's come down to? This is what it's come down to. Now we're the tourist attraction. Wow. Okay. All right, good. I really appreciate that mushroom, by the way. Thank you. All right, fine. You know, when it was the Japanese tourists at the Yarden, I could be a kabbal that. But in the mirror, I don't know. Okay, I even wore the right yarmulke. I'm saying, you know, all right, fine. So in any event, the Gemara says the following. So what's this all? In Choshen Mishpat, the halacha is like this. If you get an item that you did not want, and therefore you could void the sale, but you tell I need it for business, I need to check my emails, I need to do my trades, whatever it is, then that does not, you do not lose your ability for mekach tos based on usage, because you can claim I needed it for business. I'm sorry? For as long as it's reasonable for you to get a replacement. So whatever, so that'll be subjective. So I said, even in this case over here, when you can claim mekach tos, again, coming back to the case of the mukaseis, so that window for mekach tos is when? Really, in reality, when? When? Right after Birishona. Got to be then and there. Correct. Once there is a second bia, by definition, that would be an acceptance already of this state. That is correct. Rabbi Meir. No. It's the same way that marrying someone with a terminal illness is also not a mekach tos. You still have to disclose it. You have to disclose it. There are certain things you need to disclose on the front end of marrying someone. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva like this. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. This is actually a very dramatic tshuva. A woman married a young man who had terminal cancer. He didn't disclose. And what happened? And now she wants to know. Never. She's a kala. She wants out. She says, I did not sign up for this. So she went ahead and she asked Rav Moshe, do I even need a get? Or could I just... She's married already. Right? I don't know. I have to look up the tshuva again. But she was recent. She was not long into her marriage. So Rav Moshe Paskin, that under those circumstances, she did not require a get because it's a mekach tos. She's not a grusha. Now, she's no longer a basula, obviously, but she's not a grusha. She did not need a get because, again, remember, a terminal illness is, what was the Lashon?
Required disclosure.
A terminal illness is required disclosure. So again, Rav Meir will just say that Lamaisa, Mukar Seich is required disclosure. Which, by the way, Reuven, if you think about it, makes a lot of sense. Because if she does not disclose that, then what happens on the wedding night? It makes sense that it's a required disclosure. Because if she does not disclose Mukas Eitzani, what happens on the wedding night? What's the big deal? That's an incredibly big deal. Do you understand the Shalom Bayis problem that that's going to cause? Be a Rishona. He's going to be with her. He's going to think that she's not a Basula. What does a man assume if he finds on his wedding night that his wife is not a Basula? What's the automatic male reflexive reaction? I mean, nobody knows this, Baruch Hashem. But right, you know what's it? I'm sorry. So what's the automatic assumption is, forget about being married before, that she was with someone else. You understand what that does in a marriage? When a man assumes that his wife was with someone else. So it's not just a chance to say, oh honey, don't worry, I'm just a Mugas AIDS, right? And everything's smooth. It doesn't work that way. So so you understand why Chazal would say, no, you need to disclose that on the front end so that there are no surprises on the wedding night. Very, very important. Well, according to Rav Meir, she'd still get 200 zuz, she'd still get a full ksuva. Even if she's a mukas eitz, even if she has no hymen intact. As long as it wasn't through relations. This is through injury. That is correct.
Okay. I don't know, if there is a thing like, everyone knows this, you know, this woman is not, and she goes around, no, mukas eitz.
So we'll discuss cases like that. Actually, the Gemara, we're going to discuss this probably after our trip. We're going to get to this where we'll see that Lemaisa, there are cases where it's clear that people know she's not a basula. So what happens? So we'll discuss cases like that. So I'll say a little bit weiter. I know it's getting late. A little bit weiter. Rabbi Meir, am I madame le Bulgares? Why does Rabbi Meir compare her to a Bulgares regular adult woman? Nidmiye le Ba'ula. Why don't you go ahead and compare her to a Ba'ula? Because she doesn't have her Basulim. To which the Gemara says, Ba'ula is avid b'maisa b'de Adam. Holos avid b'maisa b'de Adam. The very simple difference. A Ba'ula is a Ba'ula because she had relations with a man. There was something done to her. This woman that is not anything b'de Adam. V'rabbanan. Instead of comparing her to a Ba'ula, compare her to a Bogeres. Bogeres lois avid b'maisa. A Bogeres, the Besulim thin out just by themselves out of anything. However, the Bogeres lois avid b'maisa klal. Hois avid b'maisa. But this one, the Mukas eitz, there was something that happened. Avalo hikir b'ala divrei hakol v'lo klum. But again, we just said before, that if he did not know that she was a Mukas eitz and then discovered she was a Mukas eitz, that's voidable according to everyone. Master of Nachra, Nachra is a Kasha. He omeres Mukas eitz ani. She says, I'm a Mukas eitz. Vihu omer lo, ki elo drusas ishat. No, you're not a Mukas eitz. You're a Ba'ula. You got a relation with another man. That's why you have no Basulim. So what happened? So now you have, it's contested, right? Now it's contested. She's saying Mukas eitz ani. He's saying, no, you are not a Mukas eitz. You're a Ba'ula. So what's that? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Omrim Ne'emenes. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Gamliel say, she is believed. We side with her. You see, the Gemara says, Om Ne'emenes Ela Omer Rava, Bein Hikir Ba, U Bein Lo Hikir Ba. So now Rava revises this. And Rava says, whether he knew that she was a Mukas eitz or not, Rabbi Meir Masen, Rabbi Meir will say, no matter what, she still gets 200 zuz. The Rabbanon Hikir Baman, according to the Rabbanon. So we'll say, now Rava is revising. Rava is saying that according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that a Mukas eitz is considered to be like a Basula, that is either whether he knew about it beforehand or didn't know about it beforehand. However, according to the Rabbanon, Hikir Bamana, if he knew about it beforehand, she gets a mana, 100 zuz. Lo Hikir Bavalo Klum. But ultimately, if he did not know that she was a Mukas eitz, she doesn't get anything. But Hadrabe Rava, and Rava ultimately retracted this position. This Sanya, what's just a few more lines. Kate Sorotza Shemra. Bose, what's the case of Motzi Shemra? Where a man goes ahead and raises rumors about his wife. A man comes to Beis Din and he says to his father-in-law, Says to his father-in-law, I didn't find any besulin by your daughter, because you must remember this is often a taina. It's a little bit awkward. Right? Yeah. We need to talk, right? So I didn't find any besulin for your daughter. Im yesh edim shezin satachtov yesh ksumana. So it's a very strange statement. If there are edim that she had relations with another man other than her husband during erusin, then she gets a ksuba v'mana. The Gemara says, Im yesh edim shezin satachtov baskili. What are you talking about? If there are witnesses that she had relations during erusin with another man, she's put to death. That's skila. The Gemara says, no, haki kamar. Im yesh edim shezin satachtov baskila. Zinsa meikari shuksuva samana. It must be like this. If there are eidim that she committed adultery during erusin, then in Achinami she's put to death. But zinsa meikara, if she had relations with a man prior to erusin, then what? Yishuksuva samana. She still has a ksuva of 100 zos. The amar of chiyabar avin amar of sheisha zos samara. So we'll say. So understand what that means. Listen to this. So a man after the wedding night, the man comes to Beis Din saying she wasn't a basula. He says to his father-in-law, she wasn't a basula. And father-in-law says, okay, don't worry. It's okay. No adultery. She was just with another man prior to marriage. So what does the Gemara say? She still gets a ksuva 100 zos. So what does that tell us? Zos lameres, kinsa becheskas besula, v'nimtzeis ba'ula, yesh la ksuva mana. What does the Rabbah say? That if you marry a woman with an expectation that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's a ba'ula, then what? She gets a ksuva 100 zos. What does that tell you? It tells you two things. Not a mechachtos. By the way, not only is it not a mechachtos, the only ramification is lower ksuva. Umasi Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman says, what are you talking about? Hanose esa isha velo matza la besulim. If a man marries a woman with the expectation that she is a besula, and then it turns out he doesn't find besulim, he omeres misha erastanin anasti. She says to him, listen, after erusin, I was violated. And you know what? It's your bad mazel. Nistapchasadeo literally means your field became flooded, which is another way of saying your problem. Your problem. V'hu omer lo ki ela achlo irastich v'yamichi mekachtos. And he says, no, not true. Rather, you were with another man prior to the marriage, prior to the erusin, and it's a mekachtos because I thought I was marrying a besula, and you're really not a besula. V'les lo klal. And what's the halacha? And therefore he says, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. Some serious shalom ayyab, right? I don't owe you anything. V'omalu Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Efsharav Amram v'chol gedoli ador yosvi, kemarav shishlash maita, v'kashilu v'shani, my mekach, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. Could it be that everybody's sitting there and they hear this and no one answers? My mekach tos. So the Gemara says, nami masayim ava amana islay, v'at amrit les l'klal. So the Gemara says, here's the problem. The problem is that what? So what do you want to say over here? Now you're telling me again that there's no mekachtos. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe mekachtos means, no, it means I thought I was going to get to give you a ksuva of 200 zuz, and I'll have to give you a ksuva of 100 zuz. V'amra abanon, man kamosiv, shapir kamosiv, mekachtos, the gamri mashma. Rather, the Gemara says, you're right. The problem is, when you say mekachtos, the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe mekachtos means like this. Mekachtos means you don't have to pay her 200 zuz, you only have to pay her 100 zuz. That can't be. Why can't that be? Because that's not what the Lashon of mekachtos means. Mekachtos means what Rabbi say? Mekachtos means nothing, that I'm out. So the Gemara says, ve'ela kashya, ve'ela kashya. So the Gemara says, hachtar tzve'imahachi, im yesh edim shezinsa tachtov beskila. Says you have to understand that if there are edim that she was mezana during erusin, then she gets skila. Zinsa meikara veloklum. Therefore, I both say, what if she went ahead and it turns out that she had bia prior to erusin with another man? What's the halacha? The halacha is she gets nothing. Why? Why? Mekachtos. Nimtzeis. All right, both says, you know what? We'll stop over here. Actually, no, I'm sorry. One more line. I'm sorry. Nimtzeis mukas eitz yishlok suvamana. So both say, oh, what do you see from here? So what do you see from here? What do you see from here? That the only time you could claim mekachtos is when we know this closure at what previous relations. So you see from here you could claim mekachtos in a case where she wasn't a basula because she was what's called drusas ish, because she had relations with another man. That's when you have avoidable marriage. But in a case of mukas eitz, right? Oh, so in the case of Mukas 8, the most she can get out of this, now remember, in Mukas 8, the most she can get is according to the Rabban on what? Or I should say, the most she could lose is 100 zuz from her ksuva. even without according to the Rabbanan.
Correct.
Nim says, Mukas eitz yesh l'ksuvimana, v'haravu d'amar l'Rabbanan, v'lo hikirba, v'lo klum el shmamina, hadr be Rava me'ahi. So say, what do you see from here? You see from here, ultimately, again, that Rava retracted his original position, right? And that Rava ultimately held that even in a case where there is no disclosure, ultimately, again, about the Mukas eitz situation, l'maisa, again, there could still be an obligation for ksuva. All right, we're not finished with this yet. We're still in the middle of the sugya Mukas eitz. Let me pick up with it. All right.